Did you pick up the unwanted relationship in the gospel reading? We always think of the disciples as this like really nice bunch of guys, brothers, they all get on together. But clearly it wasn't the case. I mean, you have characters in there which if you reflect back on your own life, you will say, wow, I don't know how you can get on with that. Take a person like Peter. I don't know if you have any Peters in your life. This is the guy that rushes in, probably gets maybe 1 out of 10 things right, but he's always keen and he's always out there and you normally have to pick up the mess after them. Not always the best person you want in your life, probably a very nice person. You've got John, who refers to him as Jesus' favorite disciple. Do you have a favorite? Are you the favorite in the family? Do you know how that feels when Jesus is taking John and Peter off up the mountain to give them special experiences and the rest of us are left here saying, wow, you know, why are they so special? And you can sometimes get a picture that this thing wasn't working as well as we might have imagined it would, even though they are there with Jesus. There are these interplays. And it gets better as they go along, and after Jesus dies, it gets even better with the disciples. But up until that point, and it may even, and although there's no evidence, it may even be why Judas actually wanted to leave the group. You never know. He might have felt unwelcome. He didn't fit in. There's all those things. But then you go to James, and James talks about these unwanted relationships. And James is writing to churches who are actually angry at each other. Now, I know that sounds like an unrealistic thing. Churches never argue with each other, you know. But that's who he's addressing here, because one church is saying, this is the way you got to do this stuff. Other churches saying, no, this is the way, and nobody can agree. And what he's saying is these relationships, you can run them in one of two ways. You can either run them on earthly principles, earthly wisdom, or you can go for godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is what you learn in life. Your earthly wisdom will be different to mine. I grew up in South Africa. I grew up in a very different world to maybe what you grew up if you grew up here in Surrey. And somebody else who grew up in the north of England, very different to somebody who grew up in Surrey. So that's why we see things differently, because we've had different experiences. And that's half the problem here when you run relationships based on your own experiences, because firstly, you put people into boxes. It's very difficult to get people out of a box. If I'd have a really bad experience with a certain type of person, I don't care if I meet another very nice person, but if they fit that mold, they're in the box, and it's going to take a lot to get them out of the box. And that's often the problem that we have. So James says, if you're looking at those relationships, there will be envy involved sometimes. So that's like your boss, who's totally useless, can't do anything, underskilled, should never be in the job. I'm much better than him. I should have that job. There's the envy. You try and get a relationship going when you have that type of envy working. The other thing is there's normally ambition. You have ambition. You want to get to a certain point, and sometimes you don't want to drag other people with you, so you'll just trample all over them. They're acceptable collateral damage on the way to the top type of thing. And then what tends to happen as well in these relationships, one person will be boastful, as happened in the James reading, but it can also be where in the situation at work where I think I'm so great, I will be telling my colleagues how great I am, and then I'll be taking a little bit of the truth about my boss and making it into a huge thing like this. If he makes a small mistake, we make it into a big mistake. And if I make a little mistake, it's a little one. But if I do something small, everybody's going to know about it. That's the way people tend to run these relationships. And James is saying, actually, we need to change that. If you want to put godly wisdom into these relationships, you have to do things differently. And the first thing he says is the way you approach the relationships are important. And he's saying you need to approach the relationships with purity and peacefulness. And purity is because if God is going to come into a relationship with anyone, the only reason he comes into a relationship is because he wants to love you. He wants to love you and he wants to get you, give you the best. It's a love relationship, and that's always the way you need to attend, to go into these relationships. And then the other thing that God wants to bring into your relationship is peace. Now, many people who are Christians here will say, oh, hang on, you know, since I became a Christian, the last thing I've had in my life is peace. But that's not the peace that God is talking about here. The peace that God is talking about is that peace when you know that God is on your side, and it doesn't matter what the world throws at you, you can take it because you've got the power of God. And that song comes to mind, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's that, that's where you get your peace from. And that's what James is saying you need to bring into these type of relationships. You need to bring into somebody's life who you don't like, love, but you also want to say, I'm there for you. If you mess up, I'm going to help you. Even though I don't like you, I'm going to bring my resources and God's resources into your life. And this stuff is not easy. This is not something you're just going to walk out the door and do and say, oh, well, now I've got the wisdom of God. This takes a lot because this, as we'll see, this stuff is easy to read and say, but it's quite difficult to do. Then James is saying you need to run the relationships on a different basis to what you currently run those. Firstly, he's saying you need to bring gentleness into the relationship. And what is gentleness? Gentleness is forgiveness. And that is so difficult because people struggle with forgiveness. Take that example that I said to you, I'd quoted earlier, where I find my wife in bed with my best friend. Now I have to have a relationship with her. What does forgiveness look like in that relationship? Does it mean I say, I forgive you, and therefore will take you back? Or does it just mean, I forgive you, but I'm not going to throw it in your face every time you say, okay, I want to take the kids to Ibiza or something? I'm saying, well, yes, an immoral person like you would want to go there, but you're not going to take my children. You know, it's stuff like that where forgiveness is saying, I'm never going to bring it up again. I'm not going to forget it, but I'm not going to bring it up. And I'm not going to use it against you. And if you think of your own life, didn't God do that for you? How many times have we messed up, spat in God's face, mortally wounded God, but he just keeps coming back and he says, don't worry about it. It's forgiven. Let's move on. I'm not going to bring that up again. There's a future to build here. Forget about the past. Let's move forward and let's move on. As I say, it's easy to do, and when you come to the cold face, that's when it becomes difficult. The next thing you have to have is an openness to be swung, changed, where you've put somebody in a box, but you need to be able to move them out of that box. And this is a tough one because people who typically repeat offend on you always have a good story. And the question is, are you willing to sit and listen when somebody says, say I take that example of my wife who cheated on me, let's assume she gets another boyfriend, and the same thing happens again. Am I empathetic? Am I saying to her, it's all right? If she says to me, I'm changing my ways, do I say, yeah, leopards don't change their spots, or do I give her the benefit of the doubt and say, yes, I think you are going to do something different this time? That is what James is saying you need to do. You need to be able to move your opinion and be swayed, but not to the point where you'll become so gullible. If somebody says, I'm going to do it, you'll say, yeah, sure, that's going to happen. The next thing you need is you need to have mercy, compassion. And compassion is something which is quite difficult when you don't like people. When you like people, it's easy. When you don't like people, it's difficult. And when people repeat offend, it's even worse. Particularly if they're hurting you every time. You might have a child who is continually getting into trouble, and they just keep coming back. And yes, you can have compassion, but after a while you just say, oh, really? You know, whatever you do, do it. I don't want to know you. But James is saying you can't do that. You've got to keep coming. And then the last thing that James is saying is you need to be impartial. And impartiality is something which, it's not about coming with a point of view and saying, I'll listen to anything. It's about coming to the relationship saying, I'm a child of God. These are God's principles. I'm going to bring God's principles into this relationship. Because that's the whole thing that you want to do. With these type of people, your whole objective is to bring them to God. And that's why you need to bring God's standards in, and all your discussions need to be centered around, actually, God wouldn't want me to do this. If I'm trying to get in the good books of my boss and he wants to take me off to the strip club or something, I'm saying, sorry, that's not really what I do. I'd love to go and have a drink with you, but I've got certain moral standards and I'm not prepared to move from those. And as I say, it sounds easy, but it's actually quite difficult to do in practice. And I would encourage you to try it. I'm sure you have somebody in mind. Maybe it's a brother, a sister, mother, father, colleague at work. But try and bring that love into the relationship. Try and bring the forgiveness in. And definitely being able to listen to their points of view is quite important. The more you listen to people, the more you tend to understand where they come from. And as I say, everybody comes from a different point of view. We all have different views on things. I sat here in a meeting on Thursday, and we're all one circuit. And trust me, we all had different views on how we should resolve issues. And I think that's a very important thing for us to do. But the one thing that you cannot do is you cannot do it without God. And you've got to bring God into this, and you've got to have God in your life so you can bring God into these relationships. And that's why we're now going to sing a hymn which reminds us how much we need God. We need God every single hour of the day. Let us sing. Singing the Faith. There we go. 467. Let us stand and sing, I need thee every hour.